everyone, to the Money Mamas Podcast Season 2, Episode 2. Last season, we talked about building and rebuilding your credit. This season, we're focusing on saving, budgeting, and salary negotiations. Today, we're going to talk about some budgeting strategies to support your efforts to meet your financial goals. I'm joined by my friend Yasmin, and we're going to talk about why budgeting is important, how to create a budget that works for you, and then, most importantly, how to stick to it. Yasmin, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing your personal experiences with the budget process.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. This is my first podcast ever.
Well, I know you're going to be great and you're going to share a lot with us about how you got your finances in order with a budget. All right, so let's get started. First, don't ever feel bad if you don't have a budget already. You're not alone. In fact, did you know that about 65% of Americans have no idea how much money they spent last month, even though money is the primary source of stress for so many people? Yasmin, do you work with a budget? And if you do, why do you use a budget?
Listen, I sure do, but I didn't always, honestly. Using a budget can help you alleviate financial stress. It helps me feel like, you know, I'm in control of my money. It makes me feel more confident and secure about how much money I have and how I'm spending it. And budgets are important to me, no matter how much money you have. It's important to know where all your money is going.
Girl, that is so true. And isn't it a great feeling to have a budget? So we're going to dive into how you even get started with this. And in order to be successful with budgeting and to maintain that budget, you first have to decide, why are you doing it in the first place? What's your goal? Are you trying to reduce your debt? Are you trying to save up for a house or a wedding or even a nice Louis bag? A budget is going to help you understand where your money's going and whether or not you're okay with the direction that it's going. You want to make sure that your money is going towards things that make you happy, that you're proud of, and that align with your values.
Listen, I love me a nice handbag. Absolutely. I had to be honest with myself about how I was spending my money. When I purchased my home, I had to adjust my priorities. I love to shop and I love to go to brunch with my girls in Georgetown, but I had to slow it all down. And when I started calculating how much money that was costing, I decided to buy a home, and that was more important to me than going to brunch.
You know, I love brunch and I love brunch with you, but every time we do it, you know, that's a certain amount of money out of your pocket and it really does add up. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about how you set your financial goals. You mentioned buying a house. I think that there's a kind of a three-step process to help you determine what your goals are and how to work toward them. I think it's important to start with long-term and then work to down to your short-term goals. So first, you want to write down three or four things that you want to accomplish in the next 5 to 10 years. Do you want to buy a house? Do you want to start a family? Do you want to start your own business? Next, take that list and go down to two things that you want to accomplish financially in the next year. Are you trying to pay off that credit card debt? Do you want to build up an emergency fund? Because right now, if you had an emergency, you don't know what you'd do. Or are you planning on quitting your job and starting a new career? Then you write down one thing that you want to accomplish in the next month. That could be saving a certain amount of money so you can go to brunch with Yasmin, or it may be saying that I'm not going to use my credit card for the next 30 days. So now you've got some goals and you're ready to start budgeting, right?
Okay, so one of the most important parts to budgeting is knowing the difference between what you want, and then sticking to that can be challenging. Needs are things you must have, you know, like the essentials, your housing, your groceries, your transportation, and you know what these gas prices.
Girl.
Think about how much coffee costs and how many runs you're doing with coffee and how often you eat out. As much as I love Starbucks and all of those other restaurants out there, you know, there's some things you can do like make coffee from home, cook at home.
Right. Absolutely. That is so true. It can be very difficult, but it's true. And you can do it. I want to think of my Starbucks as a necessity, but you're right. It isn't. When you look at your financial goals, it's going to help you stay focused. Think about it. If you buy coffee every day at $5 a day, and it doesn't always cost $5 a day, but you know that that could be over $1,200 over the course of a year. I know. So that could go toward a down payment on a house, or with that amount of money, you could get yourself a little Louis bag. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. It's also important to be prepared for surprises, because surprises happen. Life happens. You could have a sudden, an unexpected expense like a car repair. And if you've got money set aside every month for an emergency, when an emergency comes up, and it will, you won't have to put that charge on a credit card, or you won't have to take out a loan. You're still going to take a hit because it's going to deplete some of your funds, but it won't be as hard of a hit. If it's an emergency fund, you're not going to have the interest you would have on a credit card. So just think, if you suddenly had to put that $500 toward paying for something on your car, you probably are not going to be able to get that Louis bag that you spent your money on. Or you'll get the Louis bag, but then you can't pay for your car, and you're walking around with a cute bag at the bus stop.
I know that's right. And let me tell you, those emergencies do happen.
Absolutely.
Then there's automatic payments for reoccurring bills. I do this for many of my bills, and it is a lifesaver. I don't forget to make the payments, and I avoid late fees. And then sometimes interest charges.
Yep, same here. I use automated payments for most of my bills. And also with my bank, I have an amount that automatically transfers from my checking account to my savings account every month. I don't see it. I don't spend it on coffee. And that money adds up month to month. Also, my bank has a feature called Keep the Change. So every time I make a debit card payment, it rounds that up to the nearest whole dollar. And that goes right to my savings account. So if I spend $19.08, 92 cents goes right to my savings account. And like I said, all of that adds up.
Oh, wait. And can I just mention subscriptions? Oh, my goodness. Watch out for those. I realized that I was subscribed to about everything, from streaming services to subscription boxes to just about everything. And I asked myself, now, Yasmin, when was the last time you watched something on that network? And when I couldn't remember quickly, guess what? Cancel.
Absolutely. I mean, how many music streaming subscriptions does one person need? And I also know that you can negotiate. I do that with my music subscription service every year. When that contract is up, I call them and say, I don't want to spend $28 a month. That's too much money. And they say, oh, well, Miss Bowie, do you think we could get you a better deal? And now it's $8 and something a month. So the savings are ridiculous. And I just the other day canceled two subscriptions that I had, subscription boxes that I had. I added it up. That's $80 a month that I will save just by canceling those two.
Wow, that's impressive. Conversations like this made me think about the value of having a budget buddy, somebody that can keep you from buying something you don't need, who encourage you to eat those leftovers. Girl, you don't need to go out and get them chicken wings. Just to make sure this is a person who will help you stay on track and hold you accountable. Basically, somebody that will tell you no.
Absolutely. So I might have to call you when I decide I need a new bag or I need to go to brunch. And when we get our budgets together and get in line, we will be able to reward ourselves and go out to brunch and maybe even have a drink while we're there.
Absolutely. Please do. I'll be happy to tell you no. Step away from the cart. Or that coffee.
All right. So now let's get into the budgeting process.
Oh, yes. This is the fun part. Let's get into it.
All right. So let me break this down for everyone just to make it a little easier. It's pretty much a three-step process: the setup, the tracking, and the evaluation. The setup involves gathering all of your paperwork, all of your documents that contain your financial information. So that's your bank statements, your investment accounts, if you have them. Then you're going to calculate how much money you bring in every month, so your monthly income, and then the typical monthly expenses that you have. And you're going to break those expenses down into categories. So you're going to have fixed expenses and variable expenses. Let me break this down even more. Fixed expenses are those things you pay about the same amount of money every month: your rent, your cable, maybe your utilities. Variable expenses are things like groceries, and they may change a little from month to month. Now, when you've done all this, if you look at the bottom line and your income is higher than expenses, then you are off to a fabulous start. It means you're not spending all of the money that you make every month, and it means you have some money to set aside for your financial goals. If you're like that 65% of Americans, your expenses are actually higher than your income, and that's okay. We're not judging you here. Using a budget can help you get that on track and reduce that spending and get rid of some of those wants versus your needs, and then you can turn things around.
So next is tracking, which can be one of the hardest parts of budgeting. It's the maintenance part, and it requires most of the work. It can be time-consuming to track the expenses and record your transactions on a regular basis, and then make adjustments based on you see what's happening. In the beginning, it's a good idea to look at your budget at least every few days, minimum once a week, to kind of help you on track.
Yep. Absolutely right. And then finally, you're going to evaluate your budget, which is kind of what you just alluded to. You're going to start doing this after the first month of budgeting, and you're going to do that every month for at least the first 6 months. That way you'll be able to tell where your weaknesses are, where you're spending too much money, where you thought it was $25 a month, where it's actually $50 a month. And it's okay to make changes in your budget because, like I said, you may realize that something costs more than you thought it did. And that's not going to help you reach your savings goal. But the other thing you should do when you're evaluating your budget is looking at those fixed bills periodically. Like we said, sometimes you have things that you're not using, like cable. Maybe you can get rid of some of the channels, or like a lot of people nowadays, you get rid of cable altogether. That gym membership, insurance plan rates may change. If you're using a lot of the insurance companies offer Safe Driver, Good Driver programs, you can join those, and that'll make your car insurance go down potentially. And if you've got a gym membership that you're paying every month for, and you don't go to work out anyway, or you work out very rarely, but there's a gym in your building at home or at work, go to that gym instead and save that $20, $40, $50 a month. Then when you reach those financial goals, and I know everyone listening to us will, the next step is to give yourself a moment and celebrate, but then go and set yourself some new goals. You always can do more and do better. And budgeting should be a part of your financial journey forever. It's an important thing to do, and it will help you develop positive, healthy financial habits.
You know, Lornia, those were great ideas. And I just want to remind everybody, listen, I'm all about treating yourself. So you have to reward yourself.
That's right.
When you do something good, you know?
Absolutely.
Once you reach your goal, you got to treat yourself. Maybe a little nice dinner out, or maybe go to the spa. Again, you want to keep the budget in your mind when you're doing this, treat yourself.
That's right. That's right. A nice massage will be good for you after you've been spending all this time working on this budget. But you're right. We got to keep it in mind. Maybe we can only afford coffee and not brunch yet, but that's okay. We'll get to brunch status one day.
Yes.
All right. So we talked about why you need to have a budget and how to get started with a budget. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the methods and systems that are out there that can help you create and manage your budget. So you need to think about a few things when you're deciding which method to use. Think about how your mind works and how you can be successful. If you're not a techie, if you can't stand using a computer or a phone, et cetera, then an app is probably not the best thing for you. You might need to use something paper. If you are app crazy, find yourself a good budgeting app. Do you want to track your spending daily, monthly, weekly? Do you want to pay? Because that's going to affect your budget. But do you want to pay for a service, or do you want to use something free?
Good things to think about, Lornia. You know what? I wish I had known this when I began my journey. I had no idea where to start. When you determine what system you want to use, try to stick to it for at least a couple of months to see if it works out. You know what? Remember that it will not be easy at first, but because it's new, because it's different, it takes time.
Absolutely. Yep. So we're going to go over a few, and I'm going to start with ones that do not require technology or apps for people out there who prefer this method. There's one called the 50-30-20 method. This one's pretty easy to use. You're going to take your monthly income and you're going to divide that into three categories, and that monthly income is after taxes. Uncle Sam's got to come first. So you're going to take 50% and put it aside for your needs, Remember, those are your bills, your groceries, your rent. Then you're going to take 30% for your wants. That's your shopping, your entertainment, your coffee, and your brunch. Then you want to have 20% left for savings or to pay off debt, whatever you're setting aside for. When you do this properly, you'll see where all of your money is going. And if you sit down at the end of the month and you realize, oh, I actually spent 40% on my wants, then you're going to go in and reduce your wants. So, your wants. So like Yasmin said, you're going to have coffee once a week instead of three times a week out. Then another option is something called the envelope system. Now, this is a real cash-based system. So if you're somebody who likes to go to the bank and take money out and have actual cash on hand, this is great for you. It's, like I said, cash-based, and it'll keep you from a lot of frivolous spending. So what you're going to do is get some envelopes, and you actually can buy, if it's within your budget, really cute, fancy envelopes for this process. And then in each envelope, you're going to put the amount of money that you are planning to spend in that category. And you're going to set a limit. So you're going to put aside $200 a month for groceries, $50 a month for gas, not $50 a month for gas right now, but back in the day, $50 a month for gas. You're going to put that amount of cash in each envelope. And when that money is gone, you may not spend any more money in that category. So if you set aside some money for your wants and it's the 10th of the month and that money is gone, you need to go back and revisit what you're spending your money on, because you obviously can't spend as much as you thought you did on the things that you want. This system is really easy to use. There's no spreadsheets, no data entry or anything like that. But if you don't like to deal with cash, this is not for you. What do you think about those two systems, Yasmin?
Yeah, those wouldn't work for me. They sound like great options for some people, but what about the electronic or the digital options out there? I love me a good app.
Me too. And I have a lot of those to tell you about. Okay. One is called Mint. And this is an app that's going to sync your bank accounts, your credit cards, your loans, your investments, your bills, just about everything you have. And it puts them into spending categories that you can personalize and you can give limits. So it's going to let you know when you approach those limits. So if you have a category with $500, it's going to alert you when you get to 400, 450 and get close to it. This one can help you pay down your debt and save more money to track the goals that you've set. This app will also tell you your credit score and your net worth. Next, we have Good Budget. And this is like a digital version of the envelope system we just talked about. It doesn't connect to your bank accounts, and the info you put in, you have to add manually, and then you basically assign it to those envelope categories that we talked about. Next is YNAB. And this one is more for planning ahead versus tracking what you've already spent. And it's called a zero-based budgeting system. So that means that you have to plan for every dollar you earn. When you get paid, the app is going to tell you how much money can go toward the various categories. And then the idea is that you're going to become more intentional with your money when you're prompted to actively decide what to do for it in advance. Then there's Every Dollar. And Every Dollar is similar. It's a zero-based budgeting system, but it's a little easier. You don't have to sync your accounts, but you manually enter your incoming and outgoing money throughout the month. And you can categorize line items in your budget and set reminders. There's a whole lot of them, but I only have three more to share. There's Pocket Guard, which is a simplified budgeting snapshot. You can connect your bank account to it, your credit cards, et cetera, and you can track your bills. And then it's going to show you how much money you have left at the end of the month after you've set aside the funds for those necessities. There's Honeydew. This is an app for people who budget with a partner. So if you've got a significant other, you all can put both of your information in the system, but you can decide how much of your information you want to share with your partner. You don't have to share everything. Then it's going to sync all the information. It's going to categorize your expenses, similar to some of the other ones. And then you all can work together to create custom categories. You can set monthly spending limits on each category. And now here's the catch. If you don't want your partner knowing everything, just know that it's going to alert you and your partner when you're near your spending limit. So if you only got $10 a month for coffee, he or she's going to know when you're almost at that $10 a month. And it's going to remind you about your bills. And the cute thing it does is it lets you chat with one another and send emojis if you like to do that. My final one is called Fudget. And this is an app for people who don't want to be bothered with syncing their accounts. It's straightforward and it's more like a calculator than anything else. You can make lists of your money and track your balances, and there aren't any budgeting categories. So this is more basic, but it works. Okay, I know that was a lot. I hope that those of you who are listening learned a few things, and hopefully you can recognize from everything we shared that having a budget is important, but it doesn't have to be complicated once you get started.
Oh, yes. Budgeting is easy for me now, but again, I can admit the hardest part was getting started. Now it comes easy.
All right. So we're going to wrap up by reminding you that this is a marathon, not a race. Like Yasmin said, it's going to take time to get to the point where budgeting is easy and it's second nature. Make sure you allow yourself some grace. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to buy something you know you didn't have any business buying. Things are going to happen. You got to forgive yourself. You can't wallow in the mistakes and make yourself feel bad for a long time about the mistakes. That's bad for your mental health, and it doesn't fix the problem. You already got the coffee. You already got the bag, and you love the bag, and we know you're not taking it back. So instead of focusing on the mistake, learn from it. Take a few minutes to think about what you did, why you did it, why you shouldn't do that again. That way it can help you avoid making that same mistake again in the future. Yasmin, I want to thank you for joining me today on this journey toward budgeting success. It was a pleasure talking to you and having you with us today.
You are more than welcome. Thank you so much for having me as well.
All right. So to our listeners, we thank you for being here. I hope that you leave us today with a few strategies to start your budgeting journey if you aren't already on one. And if you are one, maybe you learned a few things that you can do differently. We both wish you much success on your journey toward financial health. If you want some more financial tips and helpful hints, make sure you're following us on Instagram, MoneyMamas1908. I'll say that again for you, MoneyMamas1908. And we have one more episode of this podcast for season 2, and that one is on smart salary negotiations, which will air on July 27th. Until then, take care and happy budgeting.
Hello, everyone. We, the members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Xi Zeta Omega Chapter, thank you for joining us in listening to Money Mamas, the podcast. It is our pleasure to host season 3 of this financial literacy series to empower our community. This podcast falls under the Build Our Economic Wealth initiative of the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Soaring to Greater Heights of Service and Sisterhood Administration. I would like to thank the creators and host of Money Mamas, the podcast, who are members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Monica Miles, Lornia Bowie, and Zonder Saucer. This event is proudly sponsored by the Ivy Foundation of Washington, D.C.